As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Monday, January the 11th. January the 11th, 11, 11, 1, 1, 11. January the 11th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news of sorts, hard facts, certainly that, and workable solutions for you as always. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. And as we like to say on this broadcast, hope might make a dandy breakfast, but it's a miserable supper. It's going to take more than hope to pull our bacon out of this fire. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 to join us live on air or to take Oracle with you on your mobile device. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. Got a bevy of wonderful emails over the weekend. Certainly appreciate that. Hope you'll bear with me as I go through the list and answer those that demand an answer and those that have just sent news articles. Thank you, and thank you for that. Everyone out there is helping to keep me rounded out in my internet news gathering, that's for sure. For those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, out of Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647 is the zip. Big shout-out, as always, to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Those phone numbers and much more are listed on our oraclebroadcasting.com webpage. This morning, precious metals spike higher again. As always, unexpected worsening job reports and declines in the U.S. dollar and all the same stuff. But anyway, the metals definitely are up. We'll talk about that in a moment. Part 11 today of our study, the history of law. We'll go into some more modern things as we continue this lawsuit, the study of the lawsuit, selected readings in law. I'm pointing you to a couple of websites as well today. And we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to that market report for Monday, Moonday, if you will, January the 11th, 2009, active trading. New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, finds gold trading up $22.20 in early trading at $1,159.90, going back above that $1,150 mark. Silver up strong as well, up 39 cents, trading at $18.87 as it closes in once again on $19 an ounce. Platinum up 13 bucks. Sounds like a kind of a nice morning, huh? Here's our good news rolling out for us. Platinum up 13 bucks at $1,587 an ounce, and palladium up $2 at $428 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning so far, $1,159 for a low, $1,162.40, very tight band there. But at $1,159.90, your gold is up $317.60 for a 37.72% return on your investment. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again, and welcome back to our Monday, January the 11th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Let's get back into that market report and close it out for Monday. After trading again out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, finds gold up $22.20. Checked it over the break there, and it's coming down a little bit from that. But anyway, it topped out there at $1,162.40 earlier this morning, now trading about at $1,159.90 again. That's up $317.60 year-to-year for a 37.72% return on your investment. The boys in London this morning set that gold price at $1,158. We are above that. It'll probably come back into that range, however. The Dow Jones closed up 11 on Friday, 11 points, I guess you'd say, at 10,618. The NASDAQ was up 17 at 2317. And the standard no-so-very-poor index was up 3 at 1,145. Crude oil this morning, big news here, I guess, moving up another 80 cents a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude delivered in Oklahoma, $83.55 a barrel, $83.55. So while you're sitting there shivering and shaking in your house, the cost of diesel and the cost of heating oil and the cost of gasoline are going to go up and up and up. Natural gas, no doubt, on the same line. The U.S. dollar index, that commercially traded thing, the USDX, that trade-weighted basket of currencies. Little Timmy's got his basket. We've got ours, too. But the USDX here moves up another 52 basis points, trading at 76.97 on the Intercontinental Exchange's website. The foreign exchange rates for this morning, the Canadian dollar moves up 18 basis points. Wait a minute, I've got that wrong. That 76.97 should be a decline. Now I'll check that on the next break. I believe it's down 0.52, not up. Anyway, that's the way it goes, early morning with the pencil. Foreign exchange rates this morning, the U.S. Or the Canadian dollar moves up 18 basis points. Yeah, that's got to be a decline. It moves up 18 basis points to 97 cents U.S. The Mexican peso is up 16% or 0.16 or 16 basis points, yet it still trades at 18 cents. The multiplier there for the peso, folks, is 12.6635 pesos per buck, per dollar. The euro this morning, just like the British pound, twin figures here, the euro moves up 82 basis points or 0.82% and trades at $1.45 U.S. The British pound up the same, 0.82%, trades at $1.62. Now that the euro and the British pound sterling are linked, they might be moving in parallel moves all the time. We'll watch that and see how it transpires. The Swiss franc this morning up also 0.77% or 77 basis points, trades at 98 cents U.S. continuing. They see more action in the bond market. The two-year bond, 0.94% is its yield. The 10-year is running at 3.82, and the 30-year yield is 4.72%. In the fixed mortgages, the 15-year mortgage moving up, continuing to move up, the same in the 30-year, but the continuing upward rise in the mortgage market this morning from 4.55% a month ago, now at 4.5 or 7.9% today. So that's not good news if you're trying to qualify to buy a house. The 30-year mortgage also moves up and moves up strongly from 4.97% a month ago for a fixed 30-year mortgage. It moves up to 5.29%. So it's going to cost you more and more for those mortgages the higher, the longer, I guess, we wait to get involved in it. I don't know. I think still a 5% mortgage is a pretty good deal unless you're buying an overpriced house. Anyhow, interesting stuff on the in the news locally. I'm going to do a little bit of local news first, just briefly. As I've reported a couple of times here in Southwest Missouri, small town America, there are numerous, this is a headline article out of our Berry County Advertiser, Wednesday, January the 6th, numerous vacancies in the upcoming school and the municipal races. The filing date for the upcoming elections is just around the corner, and so far only one new name is on the ballot, and that is in the municipal race in Cassville. I won't bore you with the rest of the details, but it just gives you an idea, folks. These offices do come up for election, and if you're going to sit on the sidelines and do nothing, of course, then some of these offices will just get refilled by whomever comes along. Why not have it be you? Here's a little bit more. In the school board elections, as of press times, no candidates had filed. Now, there's no advantage to rushing out and filing early. A good strategy would be to get your filing in just before the closing bell. That way you don't alert anybody or any oncomers or newcomers into the market, and neither of the parties would be trying to protect their position. So you could play it wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, certainly that. But just to give you the heads up here, there's a lot of these elections out there that just, go by the board. Nobody's even interested in participating. So you can think of the impact that you might be able to have of working on the school board, for instance, your local school board. Maybe with a catbird seat like that, you'd be able to go in and take a very close and long look at the curriculum. Perhaps you could get in your 2 cents worth about having an over abundance of sports programming and not enough educational material. So there are things that you can do on that standpoint. Also, the county committee men seats and the county commissioner seats are going to be important. Those races will come up later this year. But why let the positions just, go up for grabs? consider maybe if you have the time and if you're qualified. You know, you have to have your property taxes and all of your other taxes paid up full. It's a minor filing fee, but there will be a little bit of scrutiny. So, I mean, if you're, you know, a convicted felon and blah, 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 and blah, 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 well, maybe you could help a friend of yours get in there and win that election. But we really could take major positions here in 2010 in these election cycles that would help us drastically in the 2012 time period. So give it a thought. I hope you will. I certainly have it on my calendar to make some inquiries. I might even run for that school board position myself. Anyway, let's go back into some news, pick up a little bit more. We've got about a minute to go here. Big news article. Actually, it's a lengthy news article. We've been talking about law, and there's a on the Bloomberg website this morning, there's an article. The headline is, you could find it for yourself and read along. It's the Obama 10th Justice Kagan subverts the Supreme Court business tilt. Supreme Court business tilt. Justice Kagan. What do we know about her? U.S. Solicitor General Elena Kagan. You got to see the photograph of this woman, folks. I think they were must have been sitting on the floor to take the picture. I mean, it's such an elevated photo. But you can see all 16 of her chins. You know, look at this thing. Anyway, U.S. Solicitor General Elena Kagan steps to the mahogany lectern at the Supreme Court in September and plunges into a controversy on the side of shareholder rights. 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 We'll be back in 3 minutes. Much to go today.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. Diginet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at diginet.net. That's diginet.net. diginet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your Diginet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowda. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we returned once again, and this is an article off of the Bloomberg's website, January 11th, by Greg Storr. Obama 10th Justice Kagan subverts Supreme Court business tilt. And there's so much to this article. It's a four-pager. I don't want to go through all of it. But I will just simply say that this woman is interesting to look at for sure. She's kind of like a wild card. But they do talk about her being the 10th justice on the bench, the 10th Supreme Court justice. And this is an Obama abomination, if you will, appointment. You know, go down a little bit further here. She talks about making her first argument as the federal government's high court advocate. The federal government's high court advocate. Kagan urges the 9 justices to keep rules in place barring corporations from buying political campaign ads. Kagan contends that the restrictions protect investors who disagree with the company's political positions. Continuing, here's a quote. It's very difficult for individual shareholders to be able to monitor which each company they own assets in is doing. Kagan, a former Harvard Law School dean, tells the justices. Now, there's a lot more to this. The argument strikes what has become a theme for Kagan, 49, an appointee of Barry the Usurper, who is urging her offices, who is using her office's clout to battle against business groups and for shareholders. Bloomberg Markets report in its February 2010 edition or issue, of course, doesn't really ring true, does it? When we think about the article that's up on Bloomberg as well this morning in regards to Geithner. Geithner has the support of Barry the Usurper. We talked about a little bit of that on the Oracle Unleashed broadcast Saturday evening with Doug Owen and Mike Chambers and myself. But here, another article, just as a sidebar, Geithner has support of Obama, Democratic lawmakers, Democratic lawmakers, aides say. The James Rowley and Edwin Chen story, it's up on Bloomberg this morning as well. Treasury Secretary Timmy Geithner retains the confidence of President, well, I don't use those terms, of the usurper as he faces questions about why the Federal Reserve Bank of New York tried to withhold details of the government financial industry rescue administration officials said. Anyway, so here we've got Geithner on the hot seat and the usurper backing him up. And then at the same time, you know, and this is the deal where they're just covering up and hiding the actions of AIG. But at the same time, then we've got this comparable story coming out about Kagan, where she's supposed to be out there against business groups and championing for the shareholders. Just doesn't ring true. But it wouldn't be too surprising to get into the article a little bit further and find out more about her. Here you go. In one, this is a part on the Chamber of Commerce. In one investment case, Kagan is siding with the Chamber. Of course, if you don't understand the power of the International Chambers of Commerce, the Chambres du Commerce, if you don't understand their origins, maybe we could do a broadcast again on them. I have done it in the past. But we could find out more about the Chambers of Commerce, what their purpose is, and certainly the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, lots of clout. As it says here, clashing with Washington-based U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the world's biggest business lobby. The world's biggest business lobby. There's one in a town near you. While the White House duels with the chamber over health care, financial, and climate change regulation, Kagan and lobbying groups are regular foes in court. She and the chamber are opposing each other in 9 out of the 10 cases in which both had taken positions as of January the 8th, and blah, blah, blah. More to that. Drop down a little bit further, there's a section here about Thurgood Marshall. In battling the chamber, Kagan brings a record in politics and academia of pragmatic, pragmatism, that would be John Dewey, pragmatic deal-making and fairness. Her former colleagues say, a magna cum laude graduate of Harvard Law in 1986, Kagan went on to clerk for Thurgood Marshall, a civil rights pioneer who became Supreme Court justices, the Supreme Court's first, and they say, black justice, Negro justice. She worked as a researcher for Democrat Michael Dukakis' unsuccessful presidential campaign in 1988 before spending 2 years as a litigator at Williams & Connolly LLP, a corporate law firm in Washington. Kagan took a teaching job in 1991 at the University of Chicago Law School. I wonder if she came into contact with the usurper there, where she helped recruit fellow Harvard Law alumni, alum Obama, to the faculty. Well, I guess that answers the question. Let me say it again. Kagan took a teaching job in 1991 at the University of Chicago Law School, where she helped recruit fellow Harvard Law alum Obama, to the faculty. She took a summer off from her duties to advise then-Senator Joe Biden, now Obama's vice president, on the Senate consideration of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's Supreme Court nomination in 1993. So we've got a little bit of feather bedding going on here. Harvard Law Dean. In 1995, Kagan accepted a post in President Bill Clinton's White House, where she earned a reputation for forging compromises and breaking log jams. Forging compromises. It's like arbitration, negotiation. As a domestic policy advisor for Clinton and the lead negotiator for an anti-smoking proposal, well, she's on my hate list now, to let the Food and Drug Administration regulate tobacco. She found common ground between the FDA and the Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona, who wanted to restrict that agency's authority. The 1998 agreement, which made it to the Senate floor before being defeated, would have given the agency the same power over tobacco that it has over drugs and medical devices. Well, there's a lot more of that. She's one of the most effective people in government that I worked with, says William Schultz, then the FDA's chief negotiator, now a lawyer at Zuckerman Spader LLP in Washington. In 1999, Kagan returned to Harvard Law as a professor. 4 years later, she became the school's first woman dean. Over the next 6 years, she both riled and pleased conservatives. And then the authors go on. They talk about Thomas and Justice Scalia, and they talk about Sotomayor and the other appointees, manager's fees, the Vioxx, more lawsuits, etc. Lengthy article, 4 pages in all. But I bring that to your attention. As we went into on Friday or Thursday last about the history of the American law schools, we found that Harvard was ostensibly one of the first, the biggest, the baddest, and the greatest of the law schools in this country. And perhaps if you have your browsers, you could go up on the internet and just type in Harvard Law School, Harvard Law School. And then as you go in and look around inside of that site, keep your eyes peeled and follow all the various links, and you come around to the point where you're actually looking at the curriculum for the year 2010. And study it out very careful, the 2009-2010. One of the things that I found really interesting, we'll talk about after the break, was that they have a beginner's course for Talmudic law. Talmudic law. I didn't notice any entries for canon law. I didn't notice anything out of there about, you know, Bible law or anything like that, but there certainly, they have a beginner's course in Talmudic law. That's peculiar, in my opinion. But this is when we need to be paying really close attention to these various schools. We'll talk about Talmudic law and more on the other side of this break. Lots to go today. We're also going to visit with the Trot.
Home of cutting. cutting edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we returned once again, as I mentioned, going into the break. You know, you go up on www.law.harvard.edu. And if you dig around just a little bit under academics and then courses, you could forward slash both of those and look at 2009 and 2010, you're going to see an enormous list of courses. And I wanted to bring that to your attention so that we don't get the myopic view. We need to have a more realistic view, a more wider view of just what all you can learn when you do attend one of these law schools, and certainly Harvard would be about at the top of the list. But one of the courses that they're offering in the 2009-2010 curriculum is Talmudic Law for Beginners. It's going to come in the spring term. It's going to be taught by a visiting professor, Hanina Ben-Menahem. Ben-Menahem. Hanina. The Talmud, here it is, it's two classroom courses or two classroom credits under law. The Talmud, covering many areas of law, including civil, criminal, and ritual law, is the foundational text of Jewish law. This seminar seeks to introduce the student, who has little or no background in Talmud, to the fascinating world of Talmudic law through systematic study of 12 Zugyot, which are, I guess, I probably mispronounced that. If I could see it in Hebrew, maybe I'd be able to get a better shot at it. But 12 Sugyot, which are Talmudic discussions dealing with explicitly legal questions. In class, students will be actively engaged in analyzing the texts, which will be provided in English translation. The Suyot have been chosen to give students a sense of the principles of Talmudic jurisprudence. As I said, I didn't notice anything there for the canon law or anything else, but you will see that there's a long list. And so you might just go through that list and open them up and, click on them and open them up and look at the courses and see a little bit more about what's going down in legal education as we're discussing the history of law. Certainly, we've gone into the past, and we need to be aware of what's happening in the future, and the future is going to be coming out of these law schools, so I guess we're going to have Harvard graduates coming out with a good understanding of what Talmudic law is. Well, they might as well. We've got the Noahide laws in this country as well. Maybe they would fit in well with Kagan and some of the others. Anyway, lots to that. Remember, we did talk about in the past with Vicki Davis. You can go up and visit her website, www.channelingreality.com. And we had a morning where we discussed who Mr. Zelikow is. I think it's Peter Zelikow. And I discovered by doing research my own on him that he went to the University, Temple University, down in Texas. Way. And you can go up on their website and go to Temple EDU again and law, and you can find the courses that they're offering. I couldn't find them this morning, but one of their professors is a rather interesting fellow, and of course he's teaching all about terrorism. You get courses on terrorism right there in Temple University. So, well, that's where we're heading, I guess. That's what the young people are going to come out. That's what they're being programmed to accept. So they will accept terrorism as a something to study and then some aspect of law. Very interesting. So back to this textbook, again, The Principles of Business Law, 1970. Out of date for modern curriculum, but certainly gives us an understanding of the basics, the fundamental basic principles, and a lot more. Kind of get the idea of why now I can understand much better why this particular textbook, which was rather spendy, actually. It was $12.95 when it was published back in 1970, according to the sticker on the dust jacket. That's what it sold for in the university bookstore. And of course, in those days, the minimum wage was about $1.75 or thereabouts. So you can just do the math. A textbook like this today would maybe be $50, $70, $80. So it's a valuable textbook, and if you keep your eyes peeled in the flea markets and the used bookstores, you can pick things like this up for pennies. And we started out in the trial, going through a lawsuit, and we looked at the need for adjective law. As previously noted, two kinds of law, substantive law and procedural or adjective law. And we then went on into pleadings, the first part. A pleading is a legal document prepared by a lawyer and filed with the court, which sets forth the position and the contentions of a party. It's interesting to note and understand a little bit about pleadings, but just get this out of, our local newspaper. This is, again, Wednesday, January the 6th. Headline, among recent court cases held at the Berry County Circuit Court. And then it goes on, there was a Paul Emmett Allen pled guilty for non-support. A Joshua Ellis Ayers of Washburn pled guilty to DWI alcohol. Glenn Klinkenbeard of Shell Knob failed to display plates, and he received a $20 fine. Kayla Marie Coons exceeded a posted speed limit by 1 to 5 miles per hour, and she received a $123 fine. Tracy A. Dulles of Cassville operated a motor vehicle with brakes not in good working order. I'm just dropped down another one here. Joshua Elkins pled guilty to passing a bad check. There's another one here. let's see if we can find some more classics. There's a lot of them. Here's another one. Randy Lowe of Cassville pled guilty. Let's see. Here's another one right down here. Seems like they're almost all this way, so we needn't read the list. But in almost in every case, what we're seeing here in this circuit court report is that everybody pled guilty. Their pleading was guilty. They came in and pled guilty, and guess what? They were all found guilty and fined or sentenced to time. So there is that stage, this pretrial, this idea of the pleadings. A pleading is a legal document prepared by a lawyer and filed with the court. Now, in this particular instance, I would imagine that few of these were represented, had any advice of counsel. Most of them just appeared when they were told to appear, and they asked how they pled, and they pled guilty, and that was how they got sentenced. You can imagine the uproar if nobody in the year of 2010 would plead guilty. We would just all plead not guilty and then let the court sort it out, right? Wouldn't that be a ball up? I'm sure it would be. Let's go into the next stage here. First of all, in the trial is the pleadings. Then we come into the next part, and that was the pretrial stage. And during the pleading stage and in the interval before the trial, the law provides for procedures called discovery, which we spoke about on Friday. And these procedures, which are designed to take the sporting aspect out of litigation and to ensure that the results of lawsuits are based on the merits of the controversy and less on the ability, skill, or cunning of the counsel. So there's this discovery stage, and we went through that. You can go back and listen to the archives. And here's the next stage, and it's the actual trial, the trial. And this is how our textbook starts out. It says, not every case can be settled even under modern procedures. Some must go to trial on the issues of fact raised by the pleadings which remain after the pretrial conference. Some of the discussion remains after the pretrial conference. Of course, always the idea is to try and get people to not go to court. Court is expensive. Going into a trial is expensive. They don't want to do that. So they try and get you to plead out or to settle before you go to court. And again, not every case can be settled, even under modern procedures. Some must go to trial on the issues of fact raised by the pleadings which remain after the pretrial conference. If the only issues are questions of law, the court will decide the case without a trial by ruling on one of the motions previously mentioned. If the case is at law and either party has demanded a jury trial, the cause will be set for trial and a jury impaneled. If the case is in equity, or if no jury demand has been made, it will be set down for trial before the court or possibly a master in chancery. For purposes of discussion, the following assumes trial before a jury. So where it's going to go on. But what is this deal if the case is in equity? Again, the three E's of sustainable development: environment, economy, and equity. So whenever and wherever you see the words equity, especially when you're studying law, take note and read all about it. This idea of coming before a master in chancery. You know, it's like you pay your money, you take your chance. But there's a lot to equity. And today and throughout this text, chancery and equity are mentioned frequently. Well, we're going to go into the break right now. When we come back from the other side, we'll take the first step of the trial. We'll talk about selecting the jury. Be right.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. It can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
Yes, we've the first bunch of into the process of selecting the jury and discussion of that. Let's go live right now down to Louisiana as Ed is called in from Louisiana. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Will. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
I just wanted to talk a minute and see if your views about this Talmud thing are close to mine and why we should be concerned that they're using this particular nature of law to teach at Harvard. Because as far as my history now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you're more well-studied in this than I am, but during what I understand, during the time that the Judeans were taken captive by the Babylonians and the Chaldean magic that they were proposing to learn from them is what they combined with the Hebrew magic in order to create the Talmud. The Pharisees of Jesus' times were Talmudic priest who taught that law. So the Talmud is also connected to another set of books called the Kabbalah. Within that, when you start teaching the Talmud, you're supposed to teach Kabbalah and the five books of the Zohar. So if we look at that, there's some concerns because according to Talmud law, the rabbinical priests are allowed to marry children, babies even, children, little girls. Now, if that's what we got to look forward to, I'm not sure that I want that to be a part of our system. Do you?
Absolutely not. And I agree with you. I think it is probably as vile as it comes, and it makes it a really difficult process. I've been invited to come on to another talk host's broadcast, a morning broadcast. It would air before this program. But the gentleman, if I can call him that, is a rabbi. And, you know, I really, I'm having a hard time, Ed, accepting that invitation. It might be interesting, but I'm really not too interested in talking with him. You know, such the workers of darkness, you want to stay away from him. And he might be all excited about politics, but when you look at the destruction that has been wrought in our nation by that Talmudic poison, I'm not too excited about accepting that invitation. But I think that there is a real problem. I think there's a problem having it taught at the university levels. If someone wants to go to yeshiva and learn all about the Talmud or the Talmud, if they want to learn the Kabbalah, if they want to get off into magic and things like that, well, you know, you got to look back even at the original Klan. You know, when the Klan was formed, they had several different things in mind, but one of their targets was Jewry coming in from Eastern Europe. They were disappointed and disillusioned with the Catholic invasion as well. There were other issues. It's not just a Negro thing and whites. So we have been embedded at every level of our government by these Talmudists, and I'm concerned about it, and that's why I brought it out.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I was just thinking also that if we look back, the Noahide laws are connected with what Noah constructed as what I think is called the Torah of laws, and that's Noahide laws, right?
Well, yeah, but at the same time, at what point does it at what point is it proper to incorporate the Noahide laws as part of our system of law in the United States? And that's been done.
Right. And then if we look back, you can look back at the Judeo-Christian Bible as the beginning of our moral laws here in the United States. If you can remember, after Darwin come out with his theories and the trial, and I can't quote it, but I've seen this trial that debated evolution. The Bible was being used as the direct rebuttal to revolution and creation against revolution, evolution. So what we are considering Judeo-Christian law is connected to the Judeo theme in the whole set of laws. So I suppose we could consider that we are Jews, and that's what they want us to believe.
Well, certainly England, you know, the crown, they believe that, you know, and you can go back and you can look at the book, The Holy Blood and Holy Grail by Bajent, Lay, and Lincoln. I have that book in my library, and I've read it several times through. It's a very fascinating book. But as you go through all of that, we think about this idea of direct lineal blood descendants of Christ, you know, now in these various bloodlines of the Illuminati, if you will. I don't know whether I go along with all of that either, but there certainly has been a continuing desire to keep these books front and center, the 66 books plus the Apocrypha, although the Apocrypha has been withdrawn from general circulation, but there's been a continuous drive to keep these alive ever since the time of Constantine. So, you know, we need to look at it really carefully, as you listened as well as I did on the broadcast in regards to discoveries in South Africa. One of the things that I've noticed, Ed, in my studies is that we're pretty well limited to the 6,500 years of recorded history, but there's a lot of other history that's not quote-unquote recorded that some would just have us conveniently forget. And as far as Judeo-Christianity, the bond, if you will, between Christians and Jews was fairly well severed at the cross, if you could believe the stories to be historical in any state. So we look at, as you mentioned correctly, Judeo-Christian law. Well, that's another story, because there are 613 laws that we can get out of the Old Testament and a couple added by Christ himself, the three that I'm aware of. So, you know, there is that aspect, and it has involved all of our legal system. So we do need to be aware of it. But as far as the Talmud is concerned, teaching it at Harvard, and there's no canon law training, I don't know whether this is right or not.
Right. As one other thing I wanted to say about the teaching of the law of the Judeo-Christian, if you look back what Cornwallis wrote a letter to George Washington and said, it doesn't matter that you won this because we're going to control the people of this country. Eventually, you will see that one day, through the Judeo-Christian or the Jewish religion, they will control this country. And that was a letter written by Cornwallis to George Washington. So it doesn't, they said it, they knew it, that through the Judeo tradition, they would control this country. The Jews are controlling this country. So,
that's all I want to guess. Okay, well, we didn't have that in the very beginning, you know, when with the Mayflower Compact and all that, when they stepped off onto the rock, that wasn't the intent. A lot of people came here, you know, the Protestants, if you will, packing the Geneva Bible, and they had different things in their minds. But we have certainly had an admixture from the Jews, if you will, that is unmistakable. And right now, you know, they control many key choke points throughout our education system, throughout our legal system, throughout our political system, the movie industry, the financial industry, and in corporate structure as well. So, you know, this is the price that we're paying for not paying attention to who was gaining supremacy, even though they're an extreme minority.
Yeah, I think that's the key point that this whole discussion is all about. I think people become complacent and just forgot to look at what was going on around them and got so entangled with their own lives and their own job and their own way of doing things that they've stopped looking at what was going on other than that, and it's sneaking up on us. And then you always got the guy that says, well, I can't do nothing about it. You know, I just got to take care of me and my family and then go on with life as it happens. And I tell them, that's how they got us this way. That's what they expect us to do. And so it's important. But I'm going to get off, Will, and listen to the show. I probably took up too much of your time already. So have a good day and appreciate your show, man.
Well, thanks for calling in, Ed. Always welcome to call in again. And, you know, there is a lot to this issue. And certainly if we go back and take a look at the idea of, you know, there are certain groups of people who are Torah, if you will, Torah-believing Jews. The Natura Carta comes to mind, Rabbi Yisrael Weiss. There are people out there that are going about their own business. But as we've already studied, and I think there was 10 parts in that series too, Zionism is a tactic. It's a socialist tactic. And it is not part, you should not be confused with anything religious. You know, Theodore Herzl himself was just about an avowed atheist. So we've become an amoral people. That means we have no morals, and I think we know some of the sources. We'll be right back for hour number two. Stay with us.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit tpr20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On tpr20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain.
Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again. We're beginning our second hour of today's Monday, January the 11th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Going into a little bit now from the trial, figuring out we've learned that the first step of the trial is to select a jury. The jury has a tremendous amount of importance. We should understand that the jury has the ability to rule not just on the facts, but on the law. But this has been obscured in this textbook. And so even in 1970, our courts had already been eroded, if you will, to take that memory out of the minds, and certainly when you're impaneled for a jury, you're going to be screened very carefully and ejected from that list if you happen to understand some of the things that you're learning in this, now the 11th part of a series on the history of law. So if you do find yourself, if you are a registered voter and you do find yourself in the jury wheel, and if you get a call to come to the jury, you want to be wise as a serpent again, as harmless as a dove. Keep your mouth shut until you get into that jury box. You know, the Jews have this thing. They do it, it's called the Kol Nidre vow and the Yom Kippur, where all of the other oaths that they take in the year can be set aside because they've taken the Kol Nidre vow. Well, you know, to understand the adversary is the first part of succeeding in a battle. We need to know who we're up against. We need to know some of the things that we ought to understand in this world that we walk around in. It's not quite as rosy as it looks sometimes. So what is this jury duty? Let's go into it and find out a little bit more. I had thought to bring out some from this Citizens Rule Book. I keep it with me all the time, the Bill of Rights Jury Handbook, etc. And it tells more about the importance of the juror. I'll just give you a little bit of that before we go back to our textbook. As a juror in a trial setting, when it comes to your individual vote of innocent or guilty, you are truly answerable only to God Almighty, the authors write. Your conscience is going to be your main guide there. The First Amendment to the Constitution was born out of this great concept. However, judges today refuse to inform jurors of their rights. The Minneapolis Star Tribune and a newspaper article appearing in its November the 30th, 1984 edition entitled, What Judges Don't Tell the Juries stated, and here's a quote, rather lengthy, listen carefully, very tiny print, but at the time of the adoption of the Constitution, the jury's role as defense against political oppression was unquestioned in American jurisprudence. This nation survived until the 1850s, when prosecutions under the Fugitive Slave Act were largely unsuccessful because juries refused to convict. Then judges began to erode the institution of free juries, leading to the absurd compromise that is the current state of the law. While our courts uniformly state juries have the power to return a verdict of not guilty, whatever the facts, they routinely tell the jurors the opposite. Further, the courts will not allow the defendants or their counsel to inform the jurors of their true power. A lawyer who made, quote, Hamilton's argument would face professional discipline and charges of contempt of court. By what logic should juries have the power to acquit a defendant, but no right to know about that power? the court decisions that have suppressed the notion of jury nullification cannot resolve this paradox. More than logic has suffered, as originally conceived. Well, we'll get back to that right after these words from our sponsors. The power of the jury, something that you actually can do, and become vocal local and say no to oppressive courts.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we've returned once again here on our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast, January the 11th, 2010, going into a little bit more of the history of law. This would be part 11 of our series, and I've gotten emails over the weekend from one of our listeners who has compiled all of the broadcasts from last year onto a I guess it's a DVD type of a disc, the higher capacity disc, all of them compacted on one. And when he gets it all finished up here, when we finish this history of law, he's going to make that available, I think, to me. And then perhaps for those of you that want them on disc, if you let me know, send me an email or something like that, we might be able to arrange to get you a copy of all of those broadcasts. I think you'd have to have an MP3 player and so on and so forth. But maybe there's somebody that you know that's not online that listens on one of the broadcasters that carry this broadcast, or somebody in one of the groups that you might be associated with, or a pastor, a preacher, teacher, somebody that you could just pass a disc to and help them out. So anyway, let's go back into this again. That's going to be really neat, by the way. I look forward to receiving that disc. More Than Logic has suffered. Again, we're talking about the juror and the power of a juror and what juries are really intended to do. More Than Logic has suffered. As originally conceived, juries were to be kind of a safety valve, a way to soften the bureaucratic rigidity of the judicial system by introducing the common sense of the community. Again, we're talking about becoming vocal, local, right where you are, taking action, being part of this system. If they are to function effectively as the conscience of the community, jurors must be told that they have the power and the right to say no. Isn't that what we're trying to say here? Just say no. Become vocal, local. No is such a powerful word. Use it. Jurors must be told that they have the power and the right to say no to a prosecution in order to achieve, and here I don't like this word, but in order to achieve a greater good. To cut jurors off from this information is to undermine one of the most important institutions. Perhaps the community could educate itself. Then citizens called for jury duty could teach the judges a needed lesson in civics. Of course, you want to keep it to yourself. They need to have unanimous decisions, you know. You want to keep it to yourself and don't get disqualified by the prosecutor or whomever in the process. But when the final analysis comes down and it's time to vote, if you know that somebody's up on a tax charge, like Ed and Elaine Brown, and there is no way in Sunday that there's any justice in that system, if you understand this Administrative Procedures Act and all that, if you don't agree with this idea that somebody should be waterboarded, if you don't think the idea of torture in the United States is anywhere near the Constitution, then it's your right and your duty as a juror to just render a not guilty verdict and set the poor soul free. The whole idea of the jury trial is that it would be better that 10 men go free than one person be falsely hanged. And if you look at the conviction rate on death penalties, a lot of people that were previously convicted on these things, information comes out after they've been in prison for a while, they've been incarcerated, find out that the guy was not guilty in the first place. Anyway, back to this textbook. The first step of the trial is to select the jury. Prior to the calling of the case, the clerk of the court will have summoned potential jurors known as the veneer or veneer. They will be selected at random from lists of eligible citizens. That generally comes from your voter's registration list. And 12 of them will be called into the jury box for the conduct of voir dire examination. Voir dire. V-O-I-R-D-I-R-E. Remember, this is like law French. It's kind of like pig Latin, if you will. A lot of these things don't mean anything except in this specialized law language. Voir dire examination is a method by which the court and the attorneys for each party examine the jurors as to their qualifications to be fair and impartial. To be fair and impartial. Each side in the lawsuit may challenge or excuse a juror for cause, for bias, prejudice, or relation to one of the parties. In addition, each side will be given a certain number of challenges known as peremptory challenges, for which no cause need be given. Each side is given an opportunity to question the prospective jurors and either to accept them or reject them until his challenges are exhausted. The prospective jurors are sworn to give truthful answers to the questions on voir dire. The process continues until the full jury is selected. So you can see that the empaneling of a jury is sometimes a lengthy process as both sides vie to get the jurors that would be best for their client or the side of the pleading that they're dealing with. After selecting the jurors, the attorneys make opening statements. An opening statement is not evidence, but is only used to familiarize the jury with the essential facts in the case, which each side expects to prove in order that the jury may understand the overall picture of the case and the relevancy of each piece of evidence as presented. After the opening statements, the plaintiff then presents his evidence. Evidence is presented in open court by means of examination of witnesses and the production of documents and other exhibits. In other words, here what we're doing in these couple of segments is we're just walking through the trial. Now, I know that many of you watch the TV things, Judge Judy or something. I don't know what all's out there on TV, but I've heard lots of it, you know. So maybe some of you are already very familiar with at least the movie version of the process. But again, evidence is presented in open court by means of examination of witnesses and the production of documents and other exhibits. The party calling a witness questions him to establish the facts about the case. As a general rule, a party calling a witness is not permitted to ask leading questions, questions in which the desired answer is indicated by the form of the question. After the party calling the witness has completed his direct examination, the other party is given the opportunity to cross-examine the witness. Now, the only real difference between what we're doing here and what you might have seen on television, and this is a textbook for lawyers. I'm sure that the scriptwriters have consulted references like this in preparing their scripts. Many of them may be members of the bar themselves, who knows. After cross-examination, the party calling the witness again has the opportunity for examining the witness. And this examination is called redirect examination. It is limited to the scope of those matters covered on cross-examination and is used to clarify matters on cross-examination. After redirect examination, the opposing party is allowed to re-cross-examine with the corresponding limitation as to the scope of questions. Witnesses may be asked to identify exhibits. Expert witnesses may be asked to give their opinion within certain limitations about the case, and sometimes experts are allowed to answer hypothetical questions. So again, the value of these broadcasts is to go back and listen to the archives. And if you find yourself in a pro se type of a litigation, here's a little opening intro as to how the trial proceeds. Stay with me.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
You heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. enginebrain.com. enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned once again, going through a trial, all of the various steps that are found in the average trial. I would imagine they stay very close to this list. Probably hasn't changed all that much from the time that this textbook was prepared. But the authors here continue, and they say, in the conduct of a trial, the rules of evidence govern the admissibility of testimony and exhibits and establish which facts may be presented to the jury and which facts may not. Curious, isn't it? What you can present to the jury and what you have to withhold. Each rule of evidence is based on some policy consideration, policy here, and the desire to give each party an opportunity to present his evidence and contentions without unduly taking advantage of the other party. Again, we're not supposed to be having a horse race here. We're supposed to be doing this on the merits of the controversy and less on the ability, the skill, or the cunning of the counsel. But, of course, if policy dictates what evidence can be presented and what evidence can't, well, it might be more than just the prohibition of a sporting event. It may not even be a fair trial. Continuing, rules of evidence were not created to serve as a stumbling block to meritorious litigants or to create unwarranted roadblocks to justice. On the contrary, the rules of evidence were created and should be implied to ensure fair play and to aid in the goal of having controversies determined on their merits. And of course, there's lots of these books that are being that have been published, and if you go to a good law library, you might be able to find material on the rules of evidence. If you go up to Westlaw or Thompson West, you can sometimes, for your own state, buy state-specific books like the criminal procedure and the civil procedure for your state. Maybe there would be an edition on the rules of evidence. And I always like to hit all of the flea markets. You never know. You might be coming into a flea market on a weekend after an estate sale where the flea market owner went to the estate sale and bought up the law library of a now-deceased Master Mason lawyer. You can pick up his law library for pennies on the dollar sometimes. Dropping down a little further in this, to illustrate the policy considerations which form the basis of the rules of evidence, an examination of the rules relating to the privileged communication is helpful. The policy behind the Fifth Amendment's privilege against self-incrimination is obvious. Now we're referring to the Constitution. There are other communications, such as between a husband and a wife, doctor and a patient, clergy and a penitent, and attorney and a client, which are also considered privileged by the law in order that these communications can be made without fear of their subsequent use against the parties involved. Of course, that was then. This is now. You can throw all that out the window. Emails being databased, cell phones being tapped and all that, wiretaps, it's all fine in the post-Patriot Act America. thanks to Janet Napolitano, the Department of Homeland Security. But anyway, these communications were supposed to be able to be made without fear of their subsequent use against the parties involved. And fair play requires an attorney be required to testify as to matters told him in confidence by his clients. That's not to testify. The preservation of the home requires that a spouse may not be required to testify against the other spouse regarding confidential communications. Of course, that doesn't preclude your children ratting you out or your next-door neighbor. Anyway, back into this, trying to be fair. The existence of insurance coverage for a party is privileged because of the impact that knowledge of the existence of insurance would have on a jury. Jurors might award damage or increase the amount simply because of the ability of an insurance company to pay. By the rules of fair play, privileged matters should not be admitted into evidence. Similar policy considerations support all rules of evidence. Each rule is designed to assist in the search for truth. So at least with some of this, we can understand where the court would intend to go or would like to go or perhaps had tread in the past. Maybe it's a place that's like a restore point in your computer where if it were possible for us to succeed in wresting control of our governments locally and state and perhaps even federal, we could go back to some of these older books and try and figure out where on earth we went wrong. A basic rule of evidence is that a party cannot introduce evidence unless it is competent and relevant to the issues raised by the pleadings. Competent is one of those very careful words. You have to look at it carefully. Competency and capacity are rather subjective as opposed to objective. But relevancy is something that you could consider to be objective. A connection between the pleadings and trial stage of the lawsuit is also present in certain motions during the trial. For example, after the plaintiff has presented his evidence, the defendant will often make a motion for a directed verdict. Now, as with every bit of these various niche builders, we talk about the walling themselves in with specialized knowledge and specialized skills. And law certainly is all about language. And so what you'll find accessing a textbook like this is, and it's 1,139 pages in length, what you'll find throughout this entire textbook is a continual expansion of the language in italicized form, and then subsequently defining all of those the meanings and the senses of those words. And so in the process of reading a book like this, you begin to learn the language so that you can speak law, if you will. And it's filled with it, this idea of a directed verdict. There will be a whole subsequent section on what is a directed verdict. This motion asks the court to rule as a matter of law that the plaintiff has failed to establish a right against the defendant and the judgment should be given to the latter. The court can only direct a verdict if the evidence taken in the light of the most favorable to the party resisting the motion establishes as a matter of law that the moving party is entitled to a verdict. And again, we're defining terms as we go through. Part of the reason why I do my research the way that I do my research is because I have researched law. And when you do that, you start to understand how absolutely important it becomes to start in the dictionaries. Every time you come up with a word you don't know or don't understand, or it's the first time it's been introduced in a section, segment, or clause, you go to the dictionaries, and then you try and derive the meanings of that word from the various meanings and senses available as it was used by the drafter. And we need to do that when we study the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, or any other book. Continuing along here, it says the defendant argues that the plaintiff has failed to prove each allegation of his complaint, just as a plaintiff must allege certain facts or have his complaint dismissed by motion to dismiss. He must have some proof of each essential allegation or lose his case on a motion for a directed verdict. If he has some proof of each allegation, the motion will be overruled. And as we'll find, this idea of going for a direct verdict, a motion for a direct verdict, can end a trial right there. In cases tried without a jury, either party may move for a finding in his favor. Such a motion, and I'll just take a sidebar again here. You can begin by studying all of this complexity, but you can also gain a lot by studying Robert's Rules of Order and understand what is a motion, what is an amendment, what is the process in dealing with the motions, what's their purpose, how are they stated, and so on. We'll be back right after this bottom of the hour break. Stay with us.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we've returned once again, going into a trial here, walking through the process, getting the overview just the way you get it in a law school, going through step by step, part by part, so we can understand this a little better. Maybe you find yourself having retained a legal counsel, if you will, and you're sitting in a courtroom. If you have this information in your mind, at least you know the steps that are happening as you're getting ready to go to the gallows, I guess, in modern-day America. Maybe, I don't know, they'll forego all of this, just take you into the alley and put two pops in the back of your head. I don't know where America will go in the future, but at least this was intended to be a course of instruction for the legal professions. continue along here. The purpose of the jury instructions. Let's see, have I skipped something? If the defendant's motion for a directed verdict is overruled, the defendant then presents his evidence. It should be noted that a party calling a witness vouches for his credibility and is not allowed to impeach or attempt to discredit a witness whom he has called. So if you're called to be a witness for somebody and the attorney that has called you to be a witness is trying to make you look like an idiot or a liar, you know, that's a breach of their own laws. It's a breach of their own rules. After the defendant has presented all of his evidence, the plaintiff may bring in rebuttal evidence. When neither party has any additional evidence, the attorneys and the judge retire for a conference to consider the instructions of law to be given to the jury. So after they've gone through all of this process of presenting your evidence and doing all this stuff, then they go into the back room. Notice who goes in with the briefcase that was heavy and comes out with a light one. The instructions of law to be given to the jury. In other words, what they're going to tell you. The purpose of the jury instructions is to acquaint the jury with the law applicable to the case. Since the function of the jury is to find the facts and the function of the court is to determine the applicable law, there must be a method to bring them together in an orderly manner that will result in a decision. At the conference, each attorney submits to the court the instructions he feels should be given to the jury. This idea of presenting you with your instructions. These are your instructions. The judge is going to tell you, you know, he's going to present you with the instructions on how you're supposed to deal with the court, the case, the law, the facts, the law, and the evidence. At the conference, each attorney again submits to the court the instructions he feels should be given to the jury. The court examines these instructions and confers with the attorneys. The court then decides which instructions will be given to the jury. A typical jury instruction in a case in which a minor is seeking to recover money paid by him in purchase of an item is as follows. So they're going to give you here's a sample of what it might be like to hear jury instructions. The court instructs the jury that contracts of minors may be avoided by the minor upon return of so much of the consideration received by the minor as he has left, providing the consideration is not a quote-unquote necessary. If you find from the evidence that the plaintiff was a minor, that the consideration received by him was not a necessary, and that he has returned so much of what he received as he has left, then your verdict will be for the minor plaintiff. You see? Now, that presupposes that you know what a plaintiff is, what a minor is, what a necessary is, and so much more. Not mentioned here. What is a minor? In a previous segment, we talked about who is an infant. What is an infant? But these are the kind of instructions that you would receive from the judge as regards this entire case. In this instruction, the authors continue, the court is in effect saying that the plaintiff must prove that he was a minor, that the contract does not involve necessaries, and that he has returned all of what he received that he had left. Thus, the law of minors is applied to the facts, and the jury is instructed as to the results to be returned if they find certain facts. After the conference on jury instructions, the attorneys argue the case to the jury. That's when they come in and they do their thing. The party with the burden of proof, usually the plaintiff, is given an opportunity to open the argument and to close it. The defendant's attorney is only allowed to argue after the plaintiff's argument and is only allowed to argue once. After the arguments are completed, the court reads the instructions to the jury. In the federal courts and in some state courts, the judge, while giving instructions, may comment on the evidence. he may indicate the importance of certain portions of evidence, the inferences that might be drawn therefrom, points out the conflict, and indicates what statements are more likely to be true than others and state why. The court, however, is duty-bound to make clear to the jury that it is not obligated to follow his evaluation of the evidence and that it is its duty to determine the facts of the case. The jury then retires to deliberate upon its verdict. And it goes on, and there's much more. We'll cover it. But so again, we're seeing some of the stuff that you're going to experience if you're actually called to a jury. You're impaneled into a jury. Actually, you're in the voir dire examination period. And I think it would be very interesting to serve on a jury and to go through this process, not only to see how the system might work or fail to work, but also to familiarize yourself with this procedure. And certainly, in all fairness to everybody else, if you were called to a jury and could conceivably serve on that jury and were impaneled to serve on that jury, then it would behoove you to do the very best you possibly can, because someday you might find yourself in a courtroom and you're going to be looking at that jury and hoping they know just a smattering of what you know. The idea of a jury of your peers. Well, if you're considered by the court to be a cattle, nothing but cattle, just chattel on the land, a bond slave, and the jury box is filled with bond slaves, better hope they have a conscience, or you're going to be doing some serious time or paying a big fine, as they say. Dropping down a little bit more here, we could say quid pro quo, what goes around comes around. If you don't want to serve on a jury and you're knowledgeable and well-researched because you think you don't have enough time, maybe the next guy who is also knowledgeable and busy and doesn't think he has enough time won't serve on a jury when you are in the stand. Two kinds of verdicts, general and speedy. A general verdict is one in which the jury makes a complete finding and single conclusion on all of the issues presented to it. That's a general verdict. First, it finds the facts as proven by the evidence, then applies the law as instructed by the court and returns a verdict in one conclusion that settles the case. Such a verdict is reported as follows. Someone would stand up and they would say, "We, the jury, find the issues for the plaintiff, or the defendant, as the case might be, and assess his damages at $1,000. Close quote. This jury does not make separate findings of fact or report what law is applied. In a special verdict, the jury only makes findings of fact. It is the duty of the court to apply the law to the facts as found by the jury. A special verdict is not a decision of the case. It resolves only the question of fact. Since the jury finds only the facts, it receives no instructions from the court as to the law. The duty of applying the law to the fact is left to the court. The circumstances under which a general or a special verdict may be used are controlled by statute." Now, I guess it would be another interesting place here. Upon reaching a verdict, the jury returns from the jury room, announces its verdict, and judgment is entered. Judgments are either in rem or in personam. And two very important words for you to understand. A judgment in rem is an adjudication entered against a thing, like property, either real or personal. The judgment is a determination of the status of the subject matter. The status of the subject matter. Thus, a judgment of forfeiture of goods for the violation of a revenue law is a judgment in rem. Although a judgment in rem is limited to the subject matter, it nevertheless affects the rights and duties of persons. We'll pick up a little bit more on that in rem and then in personam after these words from our sponsors. Stay with us. Thank you.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And having returned again, I would just encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to go up to the Harvard Law School on their website and or Temple University. Harvard Law School would be a good one. Look at the curriculum, the items for 2009, 2010, a long list. Click on each of them as you go down through it and take a look at the magnitude of the course offering and all of that. And you can imagine that this would just be one part of a legal education, an education in law. This, DeLaveau and Howard's Principles of Business Law, the 9th edition, published back in 1970. And as we go through this and continue, you know, sometimes it's useful and very helpful to walk a mile, as they say, in the other guy's moccasins. Not everybody that graduates out of Harvard is going to have gone through this entire book. It's not possible. Think back to when you were in school. How much were you able to cover and retain and expound upon and write thesis about and so on when you were taking courses perhaps in college or in high school even? So you're looking at a book here of over 1,000 pages. But one of the things that this book does is it introduces stare decisis, or this idea of this newfangled common law, judge-made law. And it has many, many, many cases in it that are used as examples for the sections that are discussed in the text, which is useful to me because I don't have to rush off to a law library to get a better understanding of things. All the cases that are referenced are right here in the book. And then understanding how looking at the questions at the end of each section, the questions at the end of each chapter, whether or not I grasped by answering the questions, just being in school, home school here, whether or not I was able to grasp and retain the kernel of the material that was presented in that section, what was important to the educator, what was important to the authors as we studied this, the ideas that they thought were the most important that they put questions about at the end of each chapter. There's a lot of benefit, at least in my opinion, to studying out of textbooks. And, as I've mentioned many times before, as more and more of us people are unemployed or find themselves, you know, on the short end of the stick or with more time than money, this is a way to expand your understanding right out of the flea markets. Yes, your information will probably be somewhat dated, but the general principles, the fundamental basic principles, will likely be spot on. Continuing again, it says, upon reaching a verdict, the jury returns from the jury room, announces its verdict, and the judgment is entered. Judgments are either in rem or in personam. A judgment in rem, again, review, is an adjudication entered against a thing, property, real or personal. The judgment is a determination of the status of the subject matter. Sometimes you've heard about subject matter jurisdiction. Thus, a judgment of forfeiture of goods for the violation of a revenue law is a judgment in rem. Although a judgment in rem is limited to the subject matter, it nevertheless affects the rights and duties of persons. For example, while a decree dissolving a marriage seriously affects persons, it is nevertheless a judgment in rem because it affects a status, quote unquote, a status, the marriage relation. It's important. What is status? Do you understand it? If not, Google it up. A judgment in rem is binding not only on the persons previously concerned with the status or the thing, but on all other persons. In rem, you might think to the exclusion of the world. In personam, it's all about one person. We'll find out about that next. A judgment against a particular person is a judgment in personam. It is limited in its application to such a person only. Whereas a judgment in rem is conclusive on all persons. So it's against the world, if you will. After a judgment is entered, the losing party starts the procedure of post-trial motions, which raise questions of law concerning the conduct of the lawsuit. These motions seek such relief as a new trial, or a judgment notwithstanding the verdict of the jury. A motion seeking a new trial may be granted if the judge feels that the verdict of the jury is contrary to the manifest weight of the evidence. And so let's say that you were to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You hung up the jury and you were opposed to the law. You didn't think that the law was a just law. And so you had a hung jury. Immediately, the attorneys and the court would begin the process of seeking a new trial. So you may not win absolutely. You may just be able to win that one. One for the Gipper. The court may enter a judgment opposite to the verdict of the jury if the judge finds that the verdict is, as a matter of law, erroneous. To reach such a conclusion, the court must find that reasonable men, viewing the evidence, could not reach the verdict returned. For example, a verdict for the plaintiff may be based on sympathy instead of evidence. Sympathy instead of evidence. And so, let's say you've got a minority that's on trial, and the defense is able to pack the jury with members of the same minority. The court may find, and the defense may find, that this was a sympathy vote instead of a vote based upon evidence. from the ruling on the post-trial motion, the losing party may appeal. It should be noted that the lawsuits usually end by a ruling on a motion, either before trial, during the trial, or after the trial. Motions raise question of law, which are decided by the court. The right to appeal, which is discussed in the next section, is absolute if perfected within a prescribed time. So you see that it becomes a complex puzzle. It becomes a complex puzzle in that there are many parts and pieces, and you've got those that are well educated and trained in the law that can move and groove and slice and dice through this sort of stuff, whereas, you know, the fellow that's trying to defend himself, let's say, or advance a cause on his own, advance an action or a motion on his own, may be impeded by his own lack of understanding of how all of this goes down. And you may, and I hope you never have to, but you may find that you'll never use any of this information, but that at least a general understanding of it can be beneficial, especially when we hear the news. We go up on the great regurgitorium of the internet on a daily basis, and we come across articles like we shared this morning about this Obama, the 10th Justice Kagan, subverts the Supreme Court business tilt. And then we can start understanding that through the process of appealing, what is an appeal? The right to appeal, which is discussed in the next section. What is an appeal? What are appellate courts? What are all of these decisions rendered down by the court? When you hear all this stuff in the news, what does it all mean? What's it all about? And at the same time as we go through this, we need also to consider this is a system, but is it the only system? Has this, by operation of time, prescriptive generation, has this become so unwieldy as that it is no longer useful? The utility of law having been run out of it by all of the various people that just continually add to it and add to it and add to it? Become so complex that none can really understand it? And if it has, doesn't that open up a can of worms in your mind? That if it has become so complicated that none can understand it, is that man standing there that you're paying so many dollars an hour to represent you and your interest, is he actually doing so? Or is he just an insider inside of the process? He stands to make money whether you win or whether you lose. Is this a system that we need to perpetuate? Or is this a system that needs to be discarded into the dustbin of memory? All these questions are part of this discussion, this history of law. We need solutions. We need real solutions. Not a bunch of retreads. Perhaps we need to rethink our think. And we'll be back again tomorrow for much more of this. Thank you for listening. And until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider.
TeamSpeak.cc.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.